before you take a seat, say hi to three or five people. Say hi to three or five people right now. Make your way. Say hello. Say hello, Mike. Say it in a British accent. Say it British. That's the best British accent I can do. Hello, Mike. Is that Australia? Hello. Hello, Mike. Kids Ministry, you are dismissed. Go say hi to Miss Jazinia. She's in the back, the beautiful Miss Jazinia. Say hi to two more people. Two more people. You haven't met them, say hello to them. You haven't met them, say hello. Say hello. Kids Ministry, you are dismissed. Wow, go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. Good morning, Christ Church. Good morning. How are we feeling? Feeling great? Man, what a weekend for Ohio fans. Ohio State, the Buckeyes. How about the Buckeyes, bro? How about the Buckeyes? The Steelers lost yesterday. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is good, right, Eric? God is good. He shows up for Ohio. It may be cold, but we're winners over here. Good morning for those who are here with us, even those who are watching online. You guys say hello to those who are watching online as well. Say hello to our friends. Man, dozens, hundreds of people tune in every Sunday to tune in and see what God is doing here at our campus. Such a special Sunday to be with you guys. We got a message for you before we get into the message. Just got a few announcements. The very first one is tonight, if you're a dad in the room, all the dads, if you're a dad in this room, and you're looking for a place where other dads come together who love God, who want to talk about God, but also talk about dad life. Today, tonight, our good friend Hank is going to be starting a dad's group, 6:30 p.m. tonight, actually during our student group as well, who's going to be meeting here in the church. Hank's going to be leading a group along with a few others, walking them through just fatherhood and what that looks like, all the blessings, but also some of the things that don't feel as much of a blessing. But if that's something that interests you and you're a dad in this room today, and you want to be a part of that, I highly encourage you to go there tonight, come here tonight, and be a part of that. You don't want to miss. If you're looking for groups just in general to be a part of, stop at our Connection Center. Our friend Sierra and many others will be there to get you connected. Listen, the best thing you and I can never do is to be around people who love God, who want to help and grow you as well. Right? That's the best thing you and I could ever do. I'm a part of a group. He's a part of a group. You should be a part of a group. And I believe that it'll be such a blessing for many of us. Speaking of groups, on January 26th, we're going to be having, make sure you mark down your calendar because this is so important. January 26th, we're going to be having our Better Together Winter Fest. We're going to be having a chili and mac and cheese presented by all the life group leaders. Yes. Somebody's making a jalapeno mac and cheese. I don't know about you, but man, I'm going to be on that station for a long time. Haley's got the deer chili she's going to be making for you guys. Yeah, Haley, yeah. She's actually going to go get the deer herself. That's what she said. let me keep moving. Okay. it's a great time for you to come on out. Invite a friend as well. And who doesn't love to eat? Who doesn't love mac and cheese? Okay. If you don't love mac and cheese, we will pray over you. Logan and I will pray over you after service. It's going to be chilly. It's going to be a great time. Make sure that you mark your calendars. Today's scripture reading, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and bring it on out. We are in the Old Testament. We are in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. If you have your Bibles or you have your phones, go ahead and pull them on out. If you do not have either of those, go ahead and look at the screen. Just one verse today, y'all. Let's see how long I can preach just one verse, okay? Proverbs chapter 4, I'm just going to read one verse, a very familiar verse, verse 23. It says this: guard your hearts. If you're taking down notes and you have a pen in your vicinity, in your hand, or in front of you, make sure that you circle that verbiage. Guard your hearts with all diligence. Some of your Bible says, keep your heart. If you have the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, it says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hey, will you bow your heads and let's pray. Oh Lord, your way is right. Your ways are true. Lord, teach us your ways today. Give us understanding. Lord, we don't just want to be informed. We want to be transformed. We don't want to just know what the text says. We want to live out what the text says. Lord, we know that when our eyes are fixed on your ways, great delight and great hope fill our hearts. So, Lord, I pray that you would turn our eyes from worthless things, that you would revive us by your word, that you will establish your word in our hearts so it may produce fear towards you. Turn us from the way of disgrace. Help us to walk in the paths of your righteousness. Lord, we're not here just to do Christian religious things. We are here because we need an encounter with your Holy Spirit. We need your Holy Spirit to conform us into the image of Christ more and more. We need your Spirit to conform us to truth. And all truth is found in you. So, Lord, root us in that truth today. Change our hearts. Inspire the faint-hearted today. Would you humble the boastful? And would you give us what you ultimately desire for us to have? Would you give us a sense of hope, of better? We love you. And we honor you. In Christ's wonderful name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, if you're just joining us, friends, last week we started a brand new sermon series called The Playbook. Last week we started off, got a great way how we kicked everything off. Today we're going to be continuing in this sermon series, The Playbook. The one thing that you and I want desperately more and more this year is for us to have a year of success, right? Right. This is the playbook. We need this year to be a lot different. Because little do some of you know, little do some of you realize, some of you are aware that the 2024 you wants to follow you into 2025. And I don't know about you, but if I see 2024, Jovan, we're fighting. Because I didn't like that guy, okay? We're gonna have to throw them dukes. It's not gonna be good, okay? Right? And so this series is meant for us to understand that there's someone who's willing and ready to give us what we need to have a successful 2025, and that's your Heavenly Father, right? Because there's no one who is for your success more than God Almighty himself, right? God himself is for your success, for your progress, for your growth, for your maturity. And we look to him, the coach, the player personnel, the owner, the everything, to give us the playbook so that you and I can win and succeed for this year. Amen? So I'm excited for that. We're going to be continuing this thought. We're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. But before I jump into that passage, you know the one thing that I believe a lot of us, the reason why we grow frustrated in life, right? Our greatest frustration, no, it's not because the Browns seem to have a losing record every year. Now, I'm not saying that's our greatest frustrations or anything. I would say that probably one of the reasons why you and I grow the most frustrated is because more and more we realize how little control we have of life. You laugh because you know what that's like, right? You and I grow very frustrated at the realization that we're not very much in charge of a lot. And life has a great way of reminding you you're not in control, am I right? Right? Because at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, and hopefully this doesn't offend you and you go look for that Lutheran church you've been looking for, we're all control freaks. We are, right? You want people to do what you think is right, right? Plan it the way you would plan it. Say it the way you would say it. That's just who we are, right? And anytime some of you are not agreeing with me today, that's all right. That's all right. The Holy Spirit gonna work, right? Right? And anytime that reality is threatened, oh, we get frustrated. For instance, Every time my kids take a bath, right? Bath time. Bath time is like going to war, okay? It's like World War IV. Yeah, they skipped over the third one. It's a good war. It is awful, all right? And every time we take a bath, I say, do not get water on the floor. Don't. Right? Why are you laughing? They ain't supposed to be that funny, you know? Do not get water on the floor, all right, boys? What do? I walk in the bathroom. It's like walking in Lake Erie. Like, it is. I'm sitting there like, that's the reason why I got these floodies on. Why you think I'm wearing this? You know, I'm so used to my house flooding. You know what I'm saying? Right? Right? And I grow frustrated. Why? Because I can't control their actions. Right? And I don't like the fact that I can't control their actions. Right? Life has a great way, and people have a great way of reminding you you're not in control as much as you would like. But can I just make an argument that the scriptures speak kind of to the contrary? Sure. The scripture speaks to the reality that, yes, there is a God of heaven and earth, of the cosmos, who has authority over all things, things that are seen and things that are unseen. Meaning, you and I don't have control over much, which is true. But actually, the scripture does teach us and show us there is a place and there is something you and I are in charge of, right? And here's what scripture talks to you and I about, that you and I are in charge of who we are becoming. The scripture is very clear, and what we're going to read today, that God, though you don't have a lot of control in life, there's one thing you are in control of, and that's in who you are becoming, right? Who you are becoming. Your everyday life is all dependent on who you are becoming. Because at the end of the day, you and I, we have a desire to be healthy, and we want to be greater, and we want to grow. And our text today is going to point to this reality. You grow based off the care and the condition of your heart. That's where growth starts, right? Studying the heart, right? You and I mature, go from better to better, maturity to maturity, growth to growth, when we learn to give care and attention to our hearts. And the Proverbs today are going to speak to that very reality that I believe is not just meant for us to read and have just for this morning, today, and only today. This is my prayer, that this is your year verse. This is your verse of the year. Not the verse of the day, but the verse of the year. Because I believe this. I love John Bunyan, the great Puritan. He says this. He says, you keep your health, you keep your home, you keep your character, you keep your peace, when above all, you learn how to guard your heart. How true is that? Don't we love that? He says, you keep your health, you keep your home, you keep your character, you keep your peace. Pretty much this quote in this particular verse, because this is where the quote comes from, this verse that we're reading from, is that everything in life comes down to the cares of your heart. And here's the thing, friends. Here's who's responsible for the cares of your heart. You. Not what others did, not what others have done, not what's going to happen, but true success are those who take accountability. Right? You want to hear the most successful marriages? They're the ones who have two individuals who are very accountable for their souls. The most successful leaders are the ones who are accountable. The most successful parents, right? Which I'm still looking for some because I am falling short of that category. The most successful parents come from those who are really good at taking ownership of their lives. And that's what Solomon is going to teach us today, the writer of this particular passage, about what it looks like to have a life of success, and it comes from the cares of the condition of our heart. Let's go ahead and read it one more time. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Put it up there for them, Gabby. Put it up there for them. It says this, guard your heart with all diligence. We're going to talk about that word in just a little bit. Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. There's a lot going on in this particular passage, but the subject of this passage and the theme of this passage is is Solomon wants you to have attention to the thing that should have the highest priority, and that is your heart. You ever wasted your time before? Right? You ever invested in something and it felt like at the end of the day, it was a waste of time? Right? It was a waste of time. You ever did something that you felt like, man, it was the most important thing, and the thing that you thought was most important actually kept you from the thing that is ultimately important? Right? Right? I'll never forget, years ago, I told this story before, and you've laughed at it. So years ago, there was a guy that came to church, and he was crying, and he was like, man, pastor, I need you to pray for me. I said, what do you need, man? What's going on? You know, I'm doing my pastor thing. You know, what do you need? How can I bless you today? You know, what's going on? He's like, man, I don't know who to start on my fantasy football team. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? You're in my office crying about your fantasy football team, bro? All the things going on in your life, this is getting the most attention, right? Right? It's getting to the point where it's making you cry. If you're watching right now, I don't pity you. But, you know, I just, right? Right? Because he thought this was the most important thing right now, right? This was the most important thing. And it's very interesting. Solomon says, here's where you need to invest your time and your energy the most this year, friends. And it is the cares and guarding your heart more and more. Because if you're not careful, you're spending a lot of energy elsewhere, and then inward, you stink, right? You'll be so focused on the promotion. You'll be so focused on the X, Y, and Z, the outward things. God says, I give you all that you need to survive. What you need to focus on, it's what's going on inwardly. It's what's going on in your heart. Because above all, your heart is above all valuable. In the ancient Hebrew culture, the heart wasn't just the organ. He doesn't mean the physical heart here. He means the in a spiritual way, you need to guard your heart. Because a healthy heart produces a healthy life. And an unhealthy heart produces an unhealthy life. That's what Solomon wants you and I to connect to more and more. Now, let me say this, and this might get me in trouble and even cancel. And if it does, I love you. We'll make sure we get a new pastor for you. Okay? Notice, watch this, friends. Notice for some of us, if you're new to the Bible, this sounds foreign. Why does it sound foreign? Because the ideology of today's world, when it comes to the heart, right? The heart, as the Hebrew culture would say, is the central control panel of emotion, of thoughts, of your will, right? Tim Keller says the heart is where desires and feelings and decisions are birthed. Notice that culture has a very different way of approach towards your heart. You know what culture says? Culture says, live by your heart. The scripture says, take charge of your heart. Right? And we have this dangerous ideology in our world today. And some of us wonder why. This is the most anxious generation of all time. The most anxious generation of all time. I thought it was me. I thought it was us millennials. I thought we were pretty bad. Right? Right? I thought things were pretty bad when I was growing up. But nowadays, from high school to college, they are saying that anxiety, depression, and loneliness has spiked over 50%. This is the most anxious generation. Why? Because we've taught this ideology, you are what you feel. Your feelings are an indicator of what is true. That's what we say. Live by your feelings, right? But isn't it interesting? The Bible says don't follow your heart. It says you need to inform your heart. You see that, friends? Scripture says Don't follow your heart. Why? Because your heart will lie to you. Right? Emotions are a great way to great to feel, but they should never be the driver. They should never be the place where I make decisions. They should never be the place where how I respond, right? They're great. God gave us emotion and feelings, but they shouldn't be the captain of our decision-making in our everyday lives. The other day, I was at the gym, and I was working out. It's so funny. Every time I'm working on a sermon, like, I'm trying to, like, think of ways of how to, like, make, like, these points real to you, and then God's like, here you go, and I'm like, thanks, God, you know, that's awesome. So I'm in the gym, and I'm working out, and for some reason out of nowhere, and I had a good workout. For some reason out of nowhere, I just started getting angry. You ever just get angry out of nowhere? Anybody been there before? Just get, right? Some of you are laughing because you know what that's like. You just get mad. And then next you know, this thing called the rabbit hole began to happen. Next you know, my anger, emotion, it started to project certain images that I believe were true, right? Now, again, nothing bad happened. Nobody took a machine from me. Nobody was mean to me. People waved to me, high five, fist bump, all of that, made a compliment here and there. But for some reason, I got angry, and I got angrier and angrier. What did I need to do in that moment? What did I need to do in that moment? What I needed to do in that moment was to take charge and say, yeah, I feel this, but it's not true. Right? I'm experiencing this, right? Right? I'm experiencing this, but friends, it's not true, right? Here's what Solomon says. Solomon says, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. That's what Solomon says. That's what God wants you to know. Friends, we have to do a much better job communicating to ourselves. Right? We have to do a much better job making sure we are examining the details of our soul, right? And one of the ways of how you can do that, can I help you, right? And this comes from, I believe it's very good spiritually to do this, but a lot of secular psychiatrists love to do this. Whenever you are experiencing any type of emotion that feels like it's dominating, governing your life, ask yourself this question: why am I feeling like this? Right? Why am I feeling like this? Where is this coming from? Is this coming from something that's true? Or is this coming from a place where it's made up in fable? Right? Right? Why is this? Why do I feel this way? Right? And when you continuously ask yourself a question, ask more questions. Right? Right? Why am I angry? Why do I care what they think? Why does this matter? Why do I need to be seen? Why? And then, therefore, what happens is, I love this, what you realize, at the heart of it, it all comes down to your ego. Because emotion exposes your ego. Emotion exposes your ego, right? Right? And that's the heart of what it looks like to truly guard your heart. Now, when Solomon uses the word guard, this is a very important word. Don't miss this. Don't miss this, friends. When Solomon says guard your heart, it's meant to be a double pursuit, right? Because in the ancient world, when they had this idea of guard or watch over, it meant in two different ways, both religious and secular. For the religious, watch this. For the religious, they were what we call the Levites, right? They were the priests that operated within the temple. Now, what do we know about the temple? It was the place where it was meant to be esteemed as a place of honor and holiness. And the Levites, the priests, their job was to guard all of the items and all of the things that were within the temple, making sure and assure nothing or no one degraded or defiled the items. That was their job, right? Their job was to keep it holy. Keep it sacred. Again, I keep going back to this passage because it's a very important passage. When Jesus goes into the temple and he sees them trading, and he sees them gambling, and Jesus is like, I'm going to flip over this table, make over a whip of cords, and I'm going to get all of you out of here because it shouldn't be like this. You are meant to guard the temple, keep it holy, and that's what Solomon is saying. Solomon's saying that at the end of the day, God's ways and God's truth is meant to dwell within there. And there are things that want to threaten God's truth and God's ways and drive it out of your heart. And here's the double meaning. The second meaning is this. It's meant to not just to keep it sacred. Number two, it's meant to also keep from things that want to make its way out. Watch this, friends. The prison guards, what they would do is, they had a big problem in ancient Jerusalem. In ancient Israel, in Rome, and many places, they had a big problem in the ancient days. What was the big problem? The big problem was that the prison inmates were really good at escaping the prisons. They were really, really good, right? It was a lot of trickery going on, right? The guards would fall asleep, then they would wake up, and their inmates would be gone, right? Right? As a matter of fact, you can read this in Roman culture, a lot of Roman soldiers who were guards were killed because they lost their inmates quite a bit. They fell asleep and didn't give attention to the thing that wanted to make its way out. What is this reality meant to point to? What Solomon says is that there are things that want to come out that you have to be really good at making sure you guard. Because we all got something that we know if we don't give great attention to, it can control our lives. We all have it. You're not alone in this room, right? And we can go down the line. We can go down the line of what that thing may be. It's that thing you've been struggling with ever since you were a teenager. It's that thing that you picked up just last year. And Solomon says, yeah, you got to guard the things that want to make its way in. But more importantly, you got to guard yourself from the ways and the thing that wants to make its way on out. Right? Right? And that's what we need to do. Jesus says it himself. It's not what goes into the body that defiles you. Jesus says it's what comes out of you that defiles you, right? That's what Jesus says. Look it up, Mark chapter 7, right? You confirm me from there, right? And this is the reality, friends. We have to learn to keep ourselves in check. Because the minute our eyes are lost off or get lost, well, then that's how we get in trouble, right? But then that's how we get in trouble, friends. And we have to learn how to guard our hearts. Here's a couple ways of how we can do that this week if you're looking for ways. Number one, we guard our heart by a constant drawing near to Christ. We guard our hearts. Listen, friends. This passage is not a self-help passage. I know we live in a world where it's all about self-help and self-care and going out to the spa, getting my nails done, hair done, everything did. Like, this passage has nothing to do with that. This passage has all to do with being God-dependent. You only guard your heart well in Christ. And we have to have a constant drawing near to him. That throughout the scriptures, you will always see Christ, God himself, trying to remind you how much you are dependent on something. And the utmost dependence you need to have is on the Lord Christ himself. We talked about a few weeks ago when Jesus and God himself, he talks about the reality of shepherds and sheep and how much sheep need shepherds. Jesus in John chapter 15, he talks about this reality of branches and vines, and that branches can't become strong. Branches cannot grow. Branches cannot be strengthened. Branches cannot bear fruit unless it is connected to the vine. And as soon as it loses connection, it loses all sense of life. Because a branch cannot grow strong unless it is connected. And you and I need to realize that there's gonna be a moment in our lives, there's gonna be moments this year where you're gonna feel tempted to be disconnected. Because there's gonna be a lot that's gonna wanna confuse you and distract you. But here's the number one thing we need to do is to realize we can't rend our hearts to true affection, to true wisdom, to true honor unless we are connected to Jesus Christ. We can't. You cannot afford to lose that, because you know the one thing that I've noticed happens? The closer I am to Christ, the more I'm drawn to Christ. And sometimes drawn to Christ is more than just 20 minutes in the morning. Sometimes I got to draw to Christ in my car when I'm already getting frustrated and I'm already getting angry about something. I'm already getting frustrated about the day. Sometimes I got to do it in my car. Sometimes I got to do it at work, right? Every single time. And the more I draw near to Christ, the more I am rooted in his love. And the more I am rooted in his love, the more or the less I desire the old me. I've noticed that in my relationship with Christ, that the more I am rooted in his great love in which he has loved me, the less I desire the old ways, right? The more I'm rooted in him. Right? And we do this in many ways. We do this in prayer. Have you made a plan to pray more this year? Let me ask you that question. Have you made a plan to pray more? I know you got a plan financially. I know you got a plan for your family. I know you got a plan to make sure you get everything together so you can go to trip on in Florida in the fall. I know you already planned to go to Hocking Hills, right? I already know. I can see it. I know you plan on hanging out with the boys this, you know, coming up in a couple weeks, you know. But have you planned? Man, I need to be in the presence of God more. Right? Because the presence of God, I get better. The presence of God, I get stronger. The presence of God, I get wiser. The presence of God, I learn to guard my heart. I love what John Piper says, the great, great John Piper. He says this, we invite the competent Jesus Christ into our everyday battlefield of life. Because here's the thing, friends, life, it is a battle. I love that Solomon uses guard. Guard, it literally was also a word that was for a military use. Every day is going to be a battle for some of us, right? We're fighting for our peace. We're fighting for our sanity. We're fighting just to be able not to lose it on other people. We're fighting for it, right? You know what that's like, right? And here's the thing. We're not going to win the fight on our own. We're not. But we invite the competent Christ to the battlefield of life. That's what we need to do. Number one, draw near to Christ. Number two, we need to practice this reality of self-mastery. You know what we need a little bit more? I love this book that I've been reading called Discipline is Destiny. If you need a good book to read, anybody book nerds in here? Anybody love reading books? Look up Discipline is Destiny by Ryan Holiday. He kind of helped this sermon series that I wrote because it's a great, great book. It's not a Christian book, right? By no means, right? Some of the words that he chooses in that book. But it's a great book, and he says this. He says, we don't need more talent. We need more temperance. I love how he says that. He says, we don't need more talent, right? We always have this mindset that we got to have more talents so we can have more success and more growth. He says, you know what we need above all is a bit of self-control. Right, is a bit of self-control. You and I, what we need to do this year, one of the ways of how we can guard our hearts in a more honest way is we need to learn how to get in front of it before it happens. What we need to do, friends, is we need to be really good at creating boundaries in our lives. right? And we need to be disciplined in those things. For some of you, it's going to be different than me, right? Right? There are different things you're going to have to set up to keep yourself in check so that the thing that wants to make its way out is contained and that truth may sustain, right? That's what we need to do. Can I share with you a couple things that I need to keep in check, right? I mean, let me just share this because I'm a broken human being and I love you and I want to share with you my brokenness so I can be relative to you as a pastor, amen? All right, here we go. You know, I have to, this won't be on the screen for you, but I have to guard myself of always saying yes. Right? I have to do a way much better job. As a pastor, people hit me up all the time at all times throughout the day. Man, at 4 a.m., right? And sometimes at 11 p.m., right? All throughout the day, right? And I feel this compulsion that everything is urgent, that everything needs my attention right there, right? Even if I'm with family, even if I'm with my children, I'll stop what I'm doing to cater and to take care and to do this thing. But little did I realize that I haven't set up good boundaries. I have good intentions, but that's not the goal of life, right? But I have to learn to set boundaries. So if you ever text me and I don't get back to you, there's probably a reason. It's A, I'm trying to protect my time, and B, I probably don't like you. But, you know, either way, I'm just joking. Keep going. No. You know the one thing I have to guard myself from is self-mastery? Because here's the thing, friends. You have to learn how to master yourself before something masters you. Right? You got to learn to master yourself. Right? You got to learn, all right, I'm prone to always say yes. You know the one thing I'm also prone to do is to make excuses. Anybody master at making excuses? Thank you, Brother Keith. You and I are going to heaven today, all right? Anybody masters at, you are very good at always seeing a way out. I just enrolled back into school to get my master's. And I fought it for a long time to go back. I was like, I'm already ordained. I already got this. I already got that. I don't need any more, right? The people already like me. The people already come. What do I need to do? At this point, I'm just showing off. You know, I mean, I was coming up with all types of excuses in my life. A lot of us, we make a lot of excuses. Why not to go to the gym? Why not to get healthy? Why not to get in relationships? We make all types of. We are really good at making excuses, right? We're really good at making excuses. Man, you know, I'm not going to go to church today. You know, the parking stinks, and the pastor yells at me, and he's got weird pants on. I don't know if I really want to go anyway, right? We will make excuse after excuse. I was in a fraternity in college back in the day. And there was this quote we used to use, and it said, excuses are tools for the incompetent. Excuses are tools for the incompetent, right? They are pleasures for the weak, right? Isn't that interesting? The excuses are tools for the incompetent, pleasures for the weak, right? Maybe you shared that with me. You got to master the excuse maker that you're going to have, because you're going to want to make excuses. You're going to fall off your plans this year, right? If not, you've already fallen off. And you're going to want to say, it's fine. I can just stay here. No, no, no. No. Guard that. And number three, last one, and then we're close. Number three, we need to know who the real enemy is. Who's the real enemy, friends? Well, Solomon doesn't tell us, but Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 something very profound and powerful that we need to be watchful for more and more. Because just as much as we have a God who was for us, we have an enemy who is against us. Just as much as we have a God who wants you to win who God is for you to win this year. There's your adversary who wants you to lose. The unholy one, Satan, Diablos, in the Greek, Diablos, who wants you to lose. You know what the unholy one, now I know the church, you know, sometimes we can get a little bit overly spiritual when it comes to Satan, you know. Not everything is Satan's fault. Sometimes you're really good at doing this job for him, you know what I mean? Let's just be honest, right? Right? Sometimes we can overly spiritualize, and then sometimes we can be a little bit too passive. Listen, friends, Paul says it in Ephesians 6. He says, your struggle is not the person that's sitting next to you. Your struggle is not who you work with and who you have to be at work with. He says, your struggle is Satan, the unholy one. That's where the fight is. And you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to spend time in areas so that you can lack growth. You know what the unholy one wants to do this year? He wants you to spend most of your time angry. And not just angry, angry at small things. He wants you to spend most of your time in unforgiveness. He wants you to dwell on your past. He wants you to dwell on how ugly you have been. He wants you to sit in shame so much. But here's one thing the unholy one does. He works in the language of deception. Jesus says he is the father of lies, and he's been lying ever since the beginning. And how, listen to this, how do you combat the lies? By being exposed to truth. Because truth is the only way we kill the lie. And all truth is found in Christ Jesus. All truth is found in Christ Jesus. Now, the unholy one, your adversary, he wants you to sit and tell you how bad of a mom you are. He wants you to sit in that. He wants to talk to the singles and say you're going to always be single. And nothing ever is going to happen good for you. You know what he wants to do to the dad? He wants to say you don't do enough. You don't do enough as a father. You need to do more. You need to work harder. And we need to go to our Lord and say, in you I find truth. May your truth give me life. May your truth give me life. May we depend on the Lord and his great work and his great word so that we can guard our hearts more this year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you, Lord, that this is the year where verse 23 of chapter 4 of Proverbs would become a reality out of our lives. That this would not just be this is a cool verse, cool sermon, but rather we would say, God, make it real in my life. That we would learn the essence of what it looks like to walk with you as you guard us to keep our hearts sacred and devoted towards you. I pray, Father, that we would all experience the great beauty of what it looks like for you to breathe within us a sense of freedom more and more in our lives. Father, let us not spend this year like we did last year, wasted on the wrong things. Let us be this year invested in heavenly things, in spiritual matters. Let us sit and say, Lord, teach me your ways. Give me understanding. Make me to follow your truth. Enlighten me to the depths of what you're calling me to do in your wisdom. Let me not be overly concerned with things that have no value to me, but let me be truly concerned to the value you want to put in me. Would you please, Lord, bless us in a special way. It's in your Son's perfect name. Amen.